Hello everyone and welcome to another one of our discussion videos. It's been a bit of a while because we've had all the preview shows from the one day races in the way, but yeah, this is basically where Patrick and I, we talk about a discussion piece, and this one is Tadej Pogacar the favorite of the Giro d'Italia in 2024? I think many people are just screaming yes at the cameras right now. But as always, I'm joined by Patrick Blake of Adu Cycling and one third of the Echelon Cycling Podcast as well. And yeah, Patrick will go through his season so far, which has mainly just been a bunch of ones, and then the route, how it fits him, his teammates, and then his supposed rivals, and then a little cheeky prediction at the end. But I mean, we might as well start with his 2020. And yeah, how has it been for Pogacar this year?
Incredibly good is a very nice, succinct way of putting it. His lowest finishing in like any stage of anything is 31st, which was in stage 5 of the Volta Catalunya. He won Stade in such dominant fashion, it was absolutely terrifying. San Remo, he was 3rd. I feel like that's almost the one which is easiest to forget, because such is how good he is. Liège, of course, he's just won, and then Catalonia, he won by an absolute landslide as well, taking 4 stage wins along the way. He won by 3 minutes and 41 seconds to Landa. He won the points classification. He won the mountains classification in that race as well. He's not doing any of the racing before the Giro d'Italia, so that's it. That's his all we've got. But, I mean, as a Palmares goes, I mean, he could probably, you know, stop right now and probably still be classified as one of the more successful riders of the year.
Yeah, exactly. A debut of the Giro d'Italia. I don't know how much that features in anything. Remco didn't win it on his debut. Roglic certainly didn't win it on his debut. I mean, Remco still hasn't won it. But yeah, debutants winning. I mean, I'm thinking Alberto Contador in 2008, but I could be wrong. He was obviously not going to the tour that year because complications with Astana. They weren't invited, but different era. Debutants winning. Can you think of any?
I don't know why, but I'm not sure why Aruba came to my head, but he hasn't won this year. No, I can't really think of any debutants. Nairo. Yeah, I'm not sure if it was on debut, but it was definitely one of the earlier times.
Contador was debut. And you are correct as well. Nairo was on debut in 2014. 10 years ago, the man who's going to be here as well. So it is possible in the modern era as well.
Yeah, it just hasn't happened in quite a long time. But if any man's going to do it, it's going to be Tadej Pogacar, isn't it?
But anyways, Patrick, in terms of the route for 2024, it's an interesting Giro d'Italia, quite front heavy. And yeah, how do you see the route in terms of the time trials, the kilometers? We've got a gravel stage in there as well. Is this a perfect, well, if every route is suited to Pogacar, but this one in particular?
Yeah, I think it is, especially like the first two stages are very Pogacar orientated. He could have minutes by the end of stage 2 alone. And then there's a few sprints along the way, like you say. Stage 6 is the gravel stage. I don't know whether Pogacar will go, like, you know, full smash on that, because it looks a little bit, I don't know, there is a climb fairly close to the end, but I'm not sure there'll be the biggest time gaps there. It's always seems a little bit maybe risky to go all in on that, especially with the team he's got. But of course, we'll get onto his team in a little bit. The TTs, there's one on stage 7 that's 39 kilometers long, and then there's another one on stage 13. And then, not on stage 13, there's another one on stage 14, which is another 31 kilometers. So that brings us to a total of 70 kilometers of time trialing, something which Pogacar is also very good at. There's no weakness in this armor, is there? Yeah, other than that, you've got the Pato de Tivo on stage 8. That's to that's a very Pogacar kind of stage, with big climb at the end, averaging 7%. And then again, stage 10 up to the Cassano Mutli, Livingo stage on stage 15 as well. That's really tricky. And then probably one of the more challenging ones could be the Monte Grappa. But obviously at that point in the race, it's stage 20. Maybe UE might just let it go to the breakaway, because two ascents, 18.2k at 8%. Pogacar's weakness, you could say, over the last few years against Jonas specifically. Obviously, Jonas isn't here, but is when you get these high kind of kilojoule days where it's going to be kind of multiple ascents, long ascents, going up to quite high altitude, that's where Pogacar seems to be. He seems to struggle. But obviously, that has been against Jonas and other kind of Galacticos riders who aren't here, so I'm not sure whether he will be under such pressure this year, but there's certainly terrain here where Pogacar may struggle if he isn't prepared correctly.
But anyways, yeah, Patrick, I completely agree with that. We might as well look towards the team as well. Since this isn't the official preview yet, preview show, we'll get to that later. But in terms of right now, he hasn't got the strongest team if you were looking with a Tour de France size. You've got Juan Sebastian Molano, yes, a sprinter. You've got Doma Novak, who was very strong in Liège-Bastogne-Liège. Miguel Biel, Rui Oliveira, Felix Groschartner, Rafa Majka, and Vegard Langen. Yeah, Patrick, it's not a Tour de France winning team, you would think, but in terms of good enough to win a Giro, are you satisfied with this team, or what is Milano doing there?
You know, this reminds me of, you know, university where you do the minimum amount of work to get your pass grade. This is what this team looks like. I don't think it's that great, to be honest with you. Obviously, they lost Jay Vine from this. He was going to be here. And yeah, I think it was, what was it, Stackenberger-Lagen, and he came in as the substitute. So they got another rouleau in there. But I think it's lacking that like mountain support. It's really only got Micra and Groschartner as the pure climbers. Novak and Bjerg are versatile, where they do climb well. I mean, Bjerg finished, I think it was like top 15 in the Tirreno Adriatico. And up there in UAE Tour, Novak has climbed very well in the past. Like you said, Liège, he proved he climbs very well. It was also that stage which Kobe won years back, where Novak was like top three on that stage. So he does climb very well, but considering some names that aren't here, just a couple of names that I think would have worked here. Soler, Sivakov, McNulty. I think either one of those three could have worked in this team. And I know that they're, I don't know, holding people back and preparing them for the tour, but like, I don't know, it seems a little bit presumptuous that they're just going to kind of walk the Giro so easily with Pogacar, but they don't need to send such a strong team to support him. It feels a little bit kind of just presuming that things are going to go well. Do you think this team should be a bit stronger?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Juan Ayuso, I would have put in this team, to be honest. He's still 21 years old. A Giro under his belt. Maybe he finishes on the podium with Tadej Pogacar. Like, that's not a bad season. And now with Jonas Vingegaard probably not going to the Tour de France. Yeah, Adam Yates with Almeida is probably enough for them in that, I think. So I would have sent Ayuso given what happened in the Tour of the Basque Country. And yes, I agree. If imagine Bardet goes off the front, or they really just hammer him in the final week, and there's like four or five guys that go up the road. Who's helping him? Who's dragging, closing that gap?
Well, I think you make a very good point. I mean,
well, I think it was your problem. Point. It was your point.
It was it. I think looking around other teams, it's who's going to be able to put the pressure on UAE, because there are some strong teams like Decathlon, Bahrain look fairly strong, but Ineos don't have the strongest mountain support either. Like, it's only really like Arensman and Foss. And Foss wasn't that great in the Tour of the Alps either. So you sort of look around as to, you say, well, UAE isn't strong enough, but then you have to counter that and say, well, who is strong enough to put them under pressure? And it's not actually that many teams. So maybe it is sufficient for support that they've got in here. Maybe it would be just too overkill to be sending another secondary leader. But I think you're right that if they did send another semi, like, decent second tier guy like a Ayuso, Almeida, or Yates here, they would probably get on the podium as well. But I'm not sure if they care about two people on the podium. Is it? It's just the win that really matters to them.
Maybe they haven't done a 1-2-3 like Jumbo Visma at the time. So, but I mean, in terms of rivals, we talked about it a bit now. Catalunya, nobody was threatening him at all. And like you said as well, the only real rider who's put him to the sword has been Vingegaard. There is no Vingegaard. There's no Remco even. There is no Roglic. We are scrambling for riders. There is Bardet, but we saw what happened at Liège there. Yeah, Geraint Thomas, you mentioned him, but I mean, it's not exactly Geraint Thomas, 28 years old. Well, had he even won a Grand Tour yet then? I think he won it in his 30s, but you said he was very solid and consistent in the cycling, in the Echelon Cycling podcast, and that's true. But with all due respect, he couldn't beat Roglic, so I don't think he's beating Pogacar.
Yeah. The main rival Pogacar has is himself and gravity and crashing, to be honest with you, which isn't... And getting ill. I mean, it's very easy to forget. It was only this time last year with all that COVID, the whole thing in the Giro that took Remco out. I feel like that almost feels like more than 1 year ago. Like, that feels like 2 or 3 years ago that happened, but it wasn't. It was, you know, that whole illness thing can strike anybody, including Pogacar. But in terms of actual people competing, not just some kind of like, you know, spiritual force or whatever that's going to take Pogacar down, I do think that G is the biggest competitor. He's had a lot of Grand Tour experience. And yeah, all it takes is for Pogacar to have a bad day. You know, it happened on Col de la Loz. Obviously, that was because he had, you know, not great prep with that broken hand going in from Liège last year. But, you know, all it takes is one bad day. And G just kind of like, he just seems unbeatable. He's like the Terminator. He just kind of keeps going and just keeps coming after you. And he doesn't really have a bad day. He just sort of continuously is like 80%, just like, and he just waits for Pogacar to drop a little bit and maybe he could do something. But I mean, O'Connor as well, I think is a contender and certainly somebody to be aware of. He's been, you know, there or thereabouts over the years, but I think that him with the Pada Pensler brothers is certainly an interesting combination going in. He's finished fourth in the Tour before, so I reckon he'll be definitely eyeing up a podium. So he's certainly one to be looking at. Uiterbrooks, maybe. I mean, usually he finishes in eighth place, but with Vismalisa bike behind him, you know, a new team, I don't know, maybe he does better. Who else would you throw in there?
Yeah, I'm kind of struggling. Yeah, Uiterbrooks, for me, is quite an exciting one because he's still young. Youngest Tour de l'Avenir winner, all that, yada, yada, yada. Even Isaac Del Toro, I'm thinking of other... Yeah, I was just thinking of Tour de l'Avenir. Isaac Del Toro, why haven't they thrown him in the Giro? Okay, he's crazy young as well. But yeah, in terms of other rivals, I'm not going to say Juan Pedro Lopez. I'm not buying into that hype train. Maider Quintana, no.
Yeah. Danny Martinez?
Oh, okay. I am a Danny Martinez fan. Yeah, he was... great form in the World Algarve, and he has finished fifth here before, but has he got it in him for that sole leadership in terms of his team? I mean you could be on to something here. Brookman, Aliotti, but then they have got the paperweight of San Welsford and Danny Van Poppel. Yeah, I know they might win a stage, but that's not going to help them uphill. Bahrain victorious, your favorite rider,
the Italian sniper
Caruso, is that really going to be the biggest challenge at 35 36 year old Italian? Yeah. Man, that's going to be the biggest challenge.
Damiano Caruso is just very much like Geraint Thomas. He's the Italian Terminator. You won't see him in the top 10 at all in the first week, 10 days even. But in that final week, he just turns into just a different rider. He turns into this absolute... He's like a Vincenzo Nibali reborn in the last half of a Grand Tour. Caruso could honestly top five this. He's finished on the podium of the Giro before. And I think a lot of people will... you know, be like, ah, you know, he can't do it. But, you know, he's 35 or whatever. But I think we might have all said that about Geraint Thomas last year at the Giro, and he did almost win it. So I think that age, be it somebody who's really young, which seems to happen in the modern era more and more, but also the people who are older, you can't write them off even just because they're 35. It's like this newborn era of cycling. It's like a fountain of youth. You can be good at any age now.
Yeah, we might as well finish this with a prediction as well. No point going on whether we think he's going to win it or not. We'll talk about that in the preview show, our top threes. But in terms of what is the gap going to be between him and the second place in minutes and seconds, closest wins.
I'm looking back at previous editions to see how close they've been, but I think this is futile because everybody knows that this is
he is going for the double though, so he's going, well, he's probably going for the triple crown, yeah, if we're honest. So maybe he's going to just coast on like 3 minutes and then loses a bit of time, and then it slowly goes down to 1:12.
It could be a very calculated ride to win just by the minimum amount. I'm going to go with a 4 minutes and 9 seconds the lead over second place.
Okay, I'm going to say 2 minutes and 13 seconds because I think he's going to get a big buffer on the first week, and then it just slowly trickles down throughout the 2 weeks. And then he saves as many bullets for July.
That's probably what we are planning on doing. You know, we're going to try and keep things in reserve and not put him in a hole for the tour. You know, you probably won't see Tally taking very, very many risks on descents. I reckon it'll be quite a safe and calculated ride, because I think they do have an eye on July for sure. I think you're right.
But anyways, that's basically it for our discussion video here today. And this is not a preview show. That's coming as well, so look out for that, where we'll also have more squads released as well. Obviously, a lot of these are not even confirmed, but Tide will obviously be going. But yeah, that's basically it for us. Make sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel. Comment down below as well what you think of Tadej Pogačar and his Giro d'Italia. Yeah, whatever you call it, aspirations. Make sure to check out Patrick's own channel as well, Audu Cycling. And we'll see more of him on the Echelon Cycling Podcast episode 65 this week. But with that, thank you for watching, and we will see you in probably the preview show.